Broadcast to you this morning is coming from the famous Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee, where we're doing United Methodist Worship country style. We're honored to have the Trey Ward Band with us today, Sarah Caldwell, Jeremy McCullum, Glenn Pace, and Trey Ward. We're committed to being a downtown church, which means you're going to see more and more music from different places. We're committed to being involved in the life of our town. With the barbecue festival this week, we thought we would have the Trey Ward Band come and bless us with their music. You will find in your bulletin a new call to worship. The lyrics are from Zimbabwe, but the tune is an English tune. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And Joyce is going to play it one time. And then Larry and I and the choir are going to sing it. And then you join us the next time. So take a moment of silence. Let us stand before the Lord.
People free.
As the friends of God, let us bless the Lord. Blessed be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. What is the mission of Main Street United Methodist Church? We are following Christ from City Center. And what is our vision? How do we know we are faithful to the mission? As members of Main Street United Methodist Church, we embrace our calling to grow as a community of disciples of Jesus Christ by faithfully worshiping our holy God with love and devotion, compassionately serving those in need, building bridges to the diverse neighborhoods that surround us, welcoming all to hear God's story. We follow Christ by faithful participation in the mission and vision of our church. Our hymn, As the Cross and Candles Come Forward, is number 359, Alas and Did My Savior Bleed.
Thank you.
our common prayer is prepared for by mutual blessing. It is followed by a time of silence for you to listen for the voice of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, our Heavenly Father, shaping us in your image and calling us to bear your likeness, it was you who made us male and female and filled us with life. It was our foolish rebellion and cooperation with evil that plunged us into the long ruin of disease and pain and death. For the wonders of medicine and all healing sciences, we thank you and ask that we may be wise stewards of this great gift, not hoarding it for ourselves, but offering it to the poor as well. Teach us again to be so filled with the powers and gifts of the Holy Spirit that we may share in the continuing healing ministry of Jesus. Give us love to display the same kindness and patience he had towards all who were broken in body or spirit. May heaven now come down upon us, and may your holy presence be known. May the light of the risen Jesus shine in our midst, and his touch be felt. I invite you to wait before the Lord in silence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Before you are seated, turn to someone and say, you have permission to tap your toe and clap your hands, but only when the Trey Ward Band is singing. You can tap your toe if you want to. You did such a good job today. Appreciate all you do. I want to see those toes tapping. After knowing me a while, people accuse me of either knowing everyone in the state, or being kin to them, or looking for a connection. I did it this morning again with the Trey Ward Band. Jeremy McCullum, who plays guitar, has a great smile because he goes to my daughter's dental practice in Pickens. It happened again. If you pick up the registration pad on the inside aisle, everyone, and pass that down, you'll do us a favor. If you sign in, let us know you were here. If you're a visitor, give us your address. We will not call you this afternoon, but we'll send you a copy of our church newsletter so you can begin to find out about the complex, wonderful life of this historic United Methodist Church. On Wednesday night, we have our third date night. Bring your girlfriend or your date with you at 6:30. You have a video. And then we give you coupons from all over the city for free dessert and coffee and a chance just to go be with your beloved and to talk. It's one way that we want to build up marriages and not neglect them here in our church. What can I say about Lee Robards? She maintains an active nursing practice on Monday at a local clinic where she does triage. She gets calls and helps people get help. But during the week, Lee is here 20 hours a week as your parish nurse. And I'll just tell you, with the load of care in this church and all that I do, I could not keep up. Lee brings the knowledge of this community through her and her husband. She can talk to people about high blood pressure. She can encourage them to take their medicines. She and I often go visit difficult cases together, where in one visit we cover both medical and pastoral and spiritual concerns. Lee's also become a real aid of mine when there's a crisis ministry, and I need to know that I can send someone to a place I can't go who combines real Christian faith, pastoral skills and listening, but also a real medical component. And so we have a rare resource. And I'll often find a teenager or an older adult sitting down with Lee and the doors are closed and she's checking their blood pressure and going over their medicines. And being part of the living interface between the healing resources of the church and the healing resources of medicine. And I'm proud to have her on my staff, and what an asset she is. And I've asked Lee to come on the witness stand for a minute and just to talk about her ministry, so that you know the ministry she carries out with me and on your behalf. Lee?
Gee, I don't think I need to say anything else. But I am Lee Roberts, so that you can put a face with a name. And I am a registered nurse. I maintain my nursing license by having to get continuing ed units, just like all the other nurses. And I've had the privilege of serving Main Street as part-time congregational nurse since 2003. As a congregational nurse, I have an intentional focus on spiritual health. And I use the nursing interventions mainly of education, counseling, advocacy, referral, and utilizing resources available here to the members of Main Street. I cannot do anything interventional like poke you or prod you or take blood sugar testing or anything like that. Everything that I do has to be of talking oriented, because that would require a separate level of supervision that is not available here at the church. Over the years, I've offered educational programs, support groups, and book studies. But one of the more public offerings that we offer through Congregational Nursing Ministries is the Light in the Darkness program. And it's a healing service that is offered during Advent of every year. This, get out your calendars, this year's service is going to be December 12th at 7 p.m. Put it on your calendar. Don't miss it. I think those of you who have been to this service, although it's been very few people, have found it to be very loving and spiritually rewarding and fulfilling. We're also reviving the monthly blood pressure checks, and this will be done on the third Sunday of every month beginning in August from 9:30 to 10 outside of the fellowship hall. Come get your blood pressure checked. Or if you want to make an appointment with me at some other time, I'm usually working Tuesday through Thursday or Friday, or any other time that is convenient for you, just give the church office a call and I'll be happy to meet you in the office or in your home. Many of the things that I do through my position are confidential, as are most medical things. And that may be why some of you wonder what in the world I do for the church. You don't hear about the private sessions that I have with parents of children who may have drug or emotional problems, or the family from out of town who's struggling with decisions of what to do with their loved one who's a member of the congregation here, or the members who are still grieving a loss years after the loss. Then there are the phone calls at the office, at home, and on weekends from members who want to talk about what their doctor told them. What did the doctor really say? Do I agree with the diagnosis? Seriously, I get this. Do I agree with the doctor's diagnosis? And really, what does it mean for them in plain English? I'm honored and humbled that you trust me with some of your deepest and darkest secrets and problems so that we can work through them together with God's help. I have found that people are very vulnerable when issues of health arise. They want and need truthful information from a healthcare standpoint. But even more so, they want comfort and reassurance that their faith community is going to be there with them during their trials. Thanks be to God that I have been put in the right place at the right time to at least partially provide some of these things to my friends, my community here at Main Street United Methodist Church. Now, listen and remember to the portion of God's story as found in the book of Exodus. Then Moses ordered Israel to set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went for 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. That is why it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he put them to the test. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give heed to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will not bring upon you any of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If Thursday afternoon, about 2 o'clock, you heard a loud clap of thunder, it was the laughter of the Lord at an encounter he arranged for me just outside of Self Hospital. I had chosen Psalm 103 as a healing psalm for today. As I walked out the front door, an African-American female pastor was walking towards me, and she had about a 9-pound Bible under her arm. I had never met her. As we met in the parking lot about 10 feet away, she stopped and I stopped, and she announced to me a Bible quiz question. "Pastor, what is the healing scripture for today?" Being a knowledgeable Methodist, I quoted from Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And then she finished the quotation. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." And we looked at each other, and we smiled. And she went on in the hospital. So I don't know that I'll ever read Psalm 103 again without remembering the quiz that a fellow pastor gave me in the parking lot of Self Hospital. I think God delights in such encounters, and it filled me with joy for the rest of my day. Please stand for Psalm 103.
As far as the east is from the west, so far the Lord removes our sin from us.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases.
As far as the east is from the west, so far the Lord removes our sins from us.
The The Lord, who works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed, has made known God's ways to Moses, God's acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord will not always chide nor harbor anger forever. The Lord does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is the Lord's steadfast love toward the faithful. As far as the east is from the west, so far does the Lord remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to the faithful. For the Lord knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. As far as the east is from the west, so for the Lord removes our sins from us. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon the faithful, and the righteous of the Lord to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. So far as the east is from the west, so far the Lord removes our sins from us. You may be seated. And I'll ask the Trey Ward Band to come forward for their anthem. Now, in the early service, I said the title of this is interesting, and Trey will explain to you where this came from, but I'll walk you home from preaching. Sounds like a Baptist date, doesn't it? Children's time. Okay, guys? I skipped something. Just stand there and wait. Okay? Kids, come forward to meet Jessica for the children. I was so eager to hear the band, but I'm glad to hear Jessica. Come on forward, children.
Trey Ward Band, but I will make it short. Good morning. Y'all can come a little closer because I want to show y'all something this morning, and I need you to come as close as you can. Close, 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 close. Have you guys seen the movie The Jungle Book? Please tell me you have. That was one of my favorite movies as a child. What happens in Jungle Book? There's a dude. Oh, yes, there's a dude. Okay, so it's the story of a little boy named Mowgli, and he lives in the jungle among lots of animals, and he's trying to make his way back to the human village, right? Is this becoming a little more familiar to you now? Well, go home and watch it this afternoon, okay? Your TV doesn't run on tape. Okay. Well, then read the book. That would be even better. So he's trying to make his way back to the human village, and along the way he meets many very interesting characters. And there's Mad King Louie of the Apes, and a lovable, happy-go-lucky bear. Do you know what his name is? What's the bear's name? Yogi? It's not Yogi Bear, no. Baloo. His name is Baloo. And he even meets a group of vultures who pledge their friendship in a song called That's What Friends Are For. And I have it on my phone, and I hope it's going to play for you. That's why you need to gather around.
Play. Find someone you can tell your troubles to. Mowgli has made friends with every animal in the jungle. That's what friends are for. Oh, no. But to have friends, hey, fill it.
Technology. Okay, let's try this again.
A friend is someone you can tell your troubles to. And our pal, Mowgli, has made friends with every animal in the jungle. That's what friends are for.
Oh, now look, kid. Everybody's got to have friends. Hey, fellas, are we his friends?
We're your friends. We're your friends. We're your friends to the bitter end.
Okay, I'll just read you the lyrics. How about that? I don't know exactly how it goes. Sorry. If I had practiced that part a little, then maybe I would. But this is what the lyrics say. It says, we're your friends, we're your friends, we're your friends to the bitter end. You did hear that part. And then it says, when you're alone, who comes around to pluck you up? And when you're down, and when you're outside looking in, who's there to open the door? That's what friends are for. Well, you should have sung it, William.
Do it.
Okay, so do you have a friend who's always there for you? We'll help you out. You have a friend who's always there for you. One who cheers you up when you're feeling sad. One who stands by you no matter what. We could all really use a friend like that, couldn't we? And our Bible lesson today talks about that. It talks about this paralyzed man who had friends that took him to Jesus to heal him. And Jesus is in this building. He's in this building, and they can't get into him. Like, I'm talking, they're carrying this man on his bed, okay, to Jesus. And the only way to get to him is to let him down through the roof. Can you picture that in your head? So they're lowering this bed with their friend on it who is paralyzed that they want to see Jesus heal him. And so they come down through the roof. That's a pretty incredible friend. So we all need people to carry us to Jesus. Do you get that connection? We need people to carry us to Jesus, just like these men carried their friend to Jesus. Some people actually won't let people do that. Some people won't let them do that. So do you have friends like this that care about you, that care about you so much that they might want to do this for you, to carry you to Jesus? Friends keep us connected. Friends are there in times of trouble. And there's even, have you heard of a new disease called lonely-itis? Lonely-itis. That's a new disease called lonely-itis. And some people have this. They're alone. Let's go back to the lyrics. When you're alone, who comes around to pluck you up? It should be your friend to carry you to Jesus. And if our paralyzed friend didn't have friends to carry him to Jesus, he would probably still be there. He would probably still be there and be paralyzed. So let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for our friends who are there for us no matter what and who carry us to Jesus. Amen.
Thanks so much for letting us see you this morning. I want to say a special thank you to Ms. Walters. I don't play often in Greenland anymore. When I do, she always says what brings to us. So. this is an original tune. It's on our new CD, and songwriters are always looking for subjects to write about. I was watching Andy Griffith one day. Barney was complaining about his love life, and Andy said, well, you know, I'm just walking with Seville home from preaching after church. And he said, yeah, you know, there was a time when the walls of this church were red. You know, that was something a lot more common than it is now. It's called Walking Home from Preaching. I'm on the preacher, I'm on the preacher, I'm on the preacher.
Hard to follow, let me tell you. If you take out your scripture sheet, we have an introduction and then a two-part healing story with a controversy in the middle. I want you to notice the effect of the power of the Lord. On the back of your scripture sheet is a chart I worked out this week on the complex relations between sin and sickness. This is my most recent report on this controversial topic. And I give it to you for your reading and reflection and your improvement. People often ask me, what's the relationship between what I'm experiencing and what I've done? And I say that's a complex question, and I sometimes use these four topics to talk people through to an understanding of where they are and why they are. But so much more the report went abroad concerning Jesus, and great multitudes gathered to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. But Jesus withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. And it happened on one of those days when he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law standing by, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal. And here's part one of the healing story. And behold, men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they sought to bring him and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven for you." And that caused a controversy. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," we move to the second part of the healing, "he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go home.' And immediately he rose before them and took up that on which he lay and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." This is the word of the Lord. When her father, who was German, tucked her into bed one night, his little daughter asked, "What is your favorite Bible story, Papa?" "There are so many," he said. "The story of the men who carried their paralyzed friend to Jesus is a favorite, and it reminds me how Uncle Hans was healed." "I don't know that one," she said. "Tell me the story of Uncle Hans." Her father said, "Many years ago, Hans and Enid escaped the war in Germany to continue teaching in the seminary. Things were difficult because his English was not so good, but soon he became one of our most beloved teachers. When he spoke, the scriptures came alive. Nearly every day we saw Hans and Enid taking a long walk together, holding hands, and it warmed our hearts to see them sitting beside each other in church. Then one day, Enid died. For weeks, Hans would neither eat nor take walks. So the seminary president, along with three friends, visited him, and he said he felt lonely and depressed. On one visit, Hans said to his friends, 'I'm no longer able to pray. In fact, I'm not certain that I believe in God.' After a moment, the seminary president said, 'Then Hans, we will believe for you.' The four men met daily. They made confession on behalf of Hans, asked God to restore the gift of faith, and continued to visit him. Then after many months, one day the four gathered in Hans' living room, and today he smiled. He said, 'It is no longer necessary for you to pray for me. Today, I want you to pray with me. The dark night of my soul has passed.'" There was a long silence, and the girl spoke to her father. "Uncle Hans was just like the sick man in the Jesus story, wasn't he, Papa? Only instead of a pallet to carry him to Jesus, his friends used prayer." And the father nodded and kissed his daughter good night. We are not self-sufficient. We need the faith and help of others. It glues us together in the body of Christ. Self-sufficiency and individualism, especially in matters of faith, is an illusion. I frankly do not have much hope for those who desire the benefits that come with Christ: forgiveness and healing and heaven after death and the kingdom of God, if they scorn some local church and its humble ministries. If you scorn the church and you neglect it, you do not keep your promises, then you will just have to face the storms of your life on your own, and at the end, when you stand before the Lord, you will have to answer a very tough question, which is, why were none of my churches good enough for you? Jesus was not a specialist. Jesus was a generalist. Jesus did not have the luxury of focusing on one part of a person. Have you noticed how in our modern complicated world we carve people up into pieces? If they're ignorant, we get them a teacher. If they have emotional pain, we get them a counselor. If they have organic disease or injury, we get them a physician. If it's a moral or spiritual issue, we get them a pastor. We love to carve people up, and in some sense, it's necessary because people are complicated and there's so much to know and no one could do it all. But Jesus was not a specialist. Jesus dealt with the whole person over the whole of the life. The salvation Jesus gives us is not a segmented salvation for a part of your humanity, but for the restoration of the whole of who we are. Jesus has not come to make us angels. He has come to make us fully and authentically human beings. He has come to restore us. And He does it through the community called church. I have decided after 35 years of ministry that my life And the life of the church will never be neat or clean or clinical. It will always be messy. And perhaps not a part of its glory. Who else has to deal with the whole of the person across the whole of their life, with all the complexities of human life in a sinful world, and then care for them at the end, and then remember them in the communion of the saints? I used to think interruptions were problems until I read the Gospels and saw how Jesus was interrupted, and then I decided that interruptions are my ministry. And that I have to turn interruptions into opportunities by being available to messy, broken people. One day a man literally dropped in on Jesus from the roof, and Jesus gave him a total makeover. He forgave his sins. He challenged his obedience. He healed his body. He defended him against bad religious leaders. He sent him home to rebuild his life. And he put a song of praise on his lips. That is human transformation. And if it happened once, it can happen again. At least that much transformation is available to people this side of the kingdom of God. Think about what happened. He woke up guilty. He went to bed forgiven. He woke up paralyzed with his arms and legs knotted. He went to bed stretched out straight. He woke up wondering what great sin he had committed. He went to bed that night singing the Gaither song, "He touched me and made me whole." Now, I have an active imagination. You should know that by now. And I want to talk to this guy, and I plan to talk to him one day. I'm going to ask him, what was life like after Jesus healed you? Because, folks, healing not only solves problems, it causes problems. This man had to get a job. He couldn't beg anymore. He had to take up family responsibilities. He had to start carrying other people on stretchers instead of other people carrying him. He had to learn all the social skills he had missed out. He had to incorporate a theology of the kingdom into his thinking. He had to work out what it meant to have the best testimony in his village. How did he do all that? How did he quit thinking and acting like a cripple or a drunk or a loser? Jesus gave him a new relationship with God, new body, but all that old software was still running in his head. And I suspect there were days when he wondered the old life was easier. It took great grace and power for God to forgive him and heal him. I also think we need grace after a miracle. I know people who don't want to be healed because they might lose their disability check. Oh, he said it in church. Why do you think Jesus asked some people, "Do you want to be healed?" Because if you get healed or get forgiven, you got to start living a responsible life. You got to work and be a contributor. Now, I'm not against people on disability. But when Jesus heals someone, it was not to send them back to the old life of passivity, but a new life of activity and service and growth in grace and responsibility. Now, one of those days, Jesus was teaching. It was a typical day. Jesus is teaching the kingdom of God. And the Pharisees in Judea and Galilee and Jerusalem have heard that Jesus is teaching the kingdom and doing the kingdom, and he may be corrupting our people. So they sent a big theological delegation to check Jesus out. And he's teaching. Now, if you'd had an aerial photograph, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I did something stupid on Wednesday. And I may do it again. And I jumped out of an airplane at 14,000 feet. Whoo! On the way down, I'm thinking, is my insurance paid? Will Lori remarry if I hit the pavement? Now, folks, I had an aerial view for probably 30 miles. Well, if you'd had an aerial view, it's my 60th birthday, you know, get over it. I've got tickets to drive a NASCAR car soon, and I don't know. My youth is gone. I promise not to do anything immoral. You could see them carrying the friend. Can you see down Cambridge, the bottom of the hill? Can you see those four guys carrying that ambulance stretcher? Can you see the paralyzed man hoping he doesn't fall off? Can you see them double timing it up towards where they've heard Jesus is, and they get there and there's a crowd and they can't get in? What are we going to do? We got to get our friend before Jesus. And there's a staircase, and they go up the side of Peter's house and they get on the roof, and then they get out their crowbars and they tear off a hole. Now, Peter already given up his boat. Now he's given up his roof. He's learned that it costs something to follow Jesus. And if you open your home to people, they may eat all your food. They may track mud in your house. It's just part of being a servant of Jesus. And they left the guy down on a pallet. Now, folks, how much faith did it take for a paralyzed man to let his friends let him down 7 feet off a roof? And he gets about eye level with Jesus, and Jesus looks at him, he looks back, and Jesus' thinking was, yes, you need healing from a body, but you need a new relationship with God. So he says, friend, your sins are forgiven you by God. Now, when I grew up in Toral, there was a beggar that sat in front of Wanamaker's drugstore, a man that had cerebral palsy, his body was in a knot, and he had a little half a Tampa cigar box, and the soundtrack from my childhood, getting an orangeade or a butter pecan cone of ice cream, is John and his box. Every time I walked by John, I walked in straight and he's crippled. My mother would give me money and I would toss money in John's box. But when I looked at John, I didn't know he was a sinner. I just thought he was a man that had a tragic birth and a gnarled body. But Jesus can look past that. This man's primary relationship was not for physical healing. It was to have his sins forgiven. And so Jesus announced it in public that he was forgiven. He didn't make him name his sins. He didn't make him go through some long, embarrassing confession. But Jesus said, your sins are forgiven for you by God. Isn't that amazing? Guy comes floating down. There's dust everywhere. He gets about eye level. And Jesus says, I know what you need. You need for God to remove all the blockages so you can know your Heavenly Father, whatever happens to your body. Do you know that everybody can be forgiven? Do you know that everybody can have an open relationship with God? That Jesus freely forgives people, removes all the crud and all the shame and all the burden and all the self-hatred and all the ugly history that haunts your brain and sets you before the Father, free and clean to enjoy a new relationship. And the scribes were thinking, well, only God knows that man's state, and only God knows his sin. And here Jesus is speaking for God. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus is a blasphemer. He is assuming the prerogatives of God. He's dangerous to our people. We need to name him and put up posters and do him in. At that point, the Holy Spirit spoke to the Son and said, well, let's do a little wager here and back him in a corner. I'm going to heal him, Jesus. You present the wager. So Jesus looks at the Pharisees and said, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk? Well, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because it's invisible. But if Jesus heals the man physically and does the harder thing, it means he also has power to do the easier thing, which is speak forgiveness. Now, folks, it took faith for Jesus to speak to the man, because only the Spirit could make it happen. So Jesus looks at the guy who's laying there, gnarled and forgiven, and he says, rise, take up your pallet, and go home. Now, if nothing happens, then Jesus is a false prophet who can't tell people they're forgiven. But if you had seen the man, you would have seen an amazing thing. You would have seen the energy of God on him. You'd have seen the heavenly hands of the Father begin to massage this man's bones and muscles. You might have heard snap, crackle, and pop, but there was energy on the man in a creative miracle. Now, folks, I have never seen that kind of dramatic, creative miracle. I hope to one day. I have seen 15 years of back pain from a car injury go away. I have had a woman in one of my churches who's a legal secretary who couldn't move her fingers at communion take off two carpal tunnel braces and go back to work. I have had people we've prayed for report back that the tumors were gone. I've seen some people get better. But folks, I've prayed for thousands of people that I don't know what happened, and I can't tell anything happened. Okay? We're just not like that. We present people to Jesus and mean that he does his work. There's no hocus pocus. There's no technique. But this man got up and rolled up his bed and walked out. I think he walked out singing, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." I think he walked out singing "Amazing Grace." I think he walked out singing, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." His sins were forgiven. He was restored. He had a relationship with Jesus. And the crowd said, "Wow, would you look at that? Haven't we seen amazing things today?" Jesus desires your wholeness. That you know the Heavenly Father and are forgiven. That there's new joy in your life. Perhaps that you receive some kind of emotional or physical healing that will help you function in ministry. Now, folks, I'm the cripple, I'm the paralyzed man. And when Jesus looks at this church, he sees us as those kinds of people. But folks, one day, should I not die by an accident and live to some age, I'll be reduced to a bed. There'll be monitors by my side. I will not be able to move. And I will find myself whittled down to the state of the paralytic. And my carriers will probably be a doctor and several nurses and a hospice person. And maybe a family person that carry me or roll me wherever I need to go. And there's something I need to hear from Jesus. Phil, your sins are forgiven for you by God. I do not want to face death unforgiven or with a guilty conscience. And then at my last breath, I want to hear Jesus speak to me the second part of the healing. "My son, rise, take up your pallet, welcome to your home, and I will be made whole." And all the hints along the way and all the Bible stories and all the forgiveness and all the healing will come together as I am received into the eternal kingdom. As someone who has done business with Jesus and hopefully been faithful. So this story is not just about a man a long time ago. It's about me and you every day and at our dying moment. So if you need forgiveness today, I invite you to ask for it. And if you need healing today, I invite you to receive it. If you'll turn to hymn number 263, we're going to do stanzas 1, 2, 6, and 7. And I'm going to sing the stanza, and you're going to sing the response, which is, heal us today. We'll do that on stanzas 1, 2, and 6, and then we'll stand and sing stanzas 7 together. Joyce?
When Jesus the healer passed through Galilee, heal us today.
The deaf came to hear and the blind came to see. Heal us, Lord Jesus. A paralyzed man was let down through our roof. Heal us today. His sins were forgiven, his walking the proof. Heal us, Lord Jesus. The 12 were commissioned and sent out in twos. Heal us today, to make the sick whole and to spread the good news. Heal us, Lord Jesus. Please stand together. There's still so much sickness and suffering today. Heal us today. We gather together for healing and pray. Heal us, Lord Jesus. As the church, let us pray for healing and wholeness. First for ourselves, for forgiveness, physical and emotional healing. Lord, in your mercy. For the persons to our right and left, for healing and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy. For members and friends of this church who are facing cancer, Lord, in your mercy. For those with mental and emotional diseases, depression and despair, Lord, in your mercy. For those who were abused or neglected as children, Lord, in your mercy. For those who are rich in things and poor in soul, Lord, in your mercy. For those caught in a variety of destructive addictions, Lord, in your mercy. For the dying, that they may die in the confidence of God's love and forgiven, Lord, in your mercy. For this church that we love, Main Street United Methodist, that it may be filled with God's love and power, Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray as Christ is taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our ushers will come to receive your tithes and offerings, and you may be seated. Thank you. That song was in preparation for our ushers making the long pilgrimage up the center aisle. Let us stand and sing.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly home. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Our service will end in this manner. I will pronounce the benediction in just a moment, and then I'm going to ask them to go into the last song, I'll Fly Away, which I invite you to sing with them from your heart. And when that song is over, our service will be concluded. And I'll be up here to pray with anyone today who found yourself in that story. Be bold. Be brave. Carry Christ with you wherever you go. Look for opportunities to love and serve in the power of the Spirit. And there you will find God's blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.